What if we made it clear to the Sunday morning visitor that Jesus is actually present, forgiving sins? I've written the second part of my essay, Lord's Day, Lord's House, Lord's Supper, and you can read it in the latest Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details Pastor Eric Rapp's journey from the New Age through Methodist Pietism to Confessional Lutheranism, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
Day of judgment, I don't think that the Lord is going to say, well, you may have celebrated these blasphemous cartoons, but at least you upheld free speech.
The Jesus he's preaching isn't the biblical Jesus. The law he preaches isn't the biblical law. He's literally calling his shots and doing the work of the other team.
The pro-choice position at its very core is a position of bigotry. When you divide the room or the womb based on subjectively chosen arbitrary standards, you no longer have a commitment to human equality.
At least those news magazines in the past, even when they were hit pieces of the sort, they were pretty careful to at least balance the liberal argument with conservative arguments. No such pretense in this particular Newsweek cover story. It's a hit piece of real rhetorical violence.
1 hour from now, we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. That's a taste of the four soundbites we have ready for you. We will play them, and then all you need to do is listen and then vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. The listener with the best vote on this Friday afternoon will get the LPR bundle package, an I Have Issues t-shirt, and Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, mouse pad, and notepad. And in the course of Issues Etc. soundbite of the week, your votes will tally them up and kind of start over the clock for what we did last week. Remember, Issues Etc. soundbite of the year? Your votes all work toward that, depending on who gets the most votes. That's coming up here in about an hour on Issues Etc. In the meantime, the church remembers a little conversation, a brief conversation between Jesus and Peter, his disciple. We call it the Confession of St. Peter, or the Great Confession of Peter. Why this conversation among the many others that are recorded and the so many others that are doubtless not recorded? Why does the church remember this one? Pastor Peter Bender joins us to talk about the Confession of St. Peter. He's pastor of Peace Lutheran Church and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy in Sussex, Wisconsin. Peter, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Great to be back with you in 2015.
Why this conversation? There are dozens of conversations recorded between Jesus and Peter and the other disciples in the course of the four Gospels. Why is this one singled out by the church for a special remembrance?
Because the church is founded upon the rock of this confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament hopes and expectations. And at the core of that confession of faith is his death and resurrection, the very sign of the prophet Jonah. And that's the bedrock foundation upon which the church rests. I will build my church, Jesus says, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The church is not built upon the person of Peter. It's built upon the confession of the truth of the gospel with Jesus' death and resurrection at the center. That's what Peter is confessing, and why this short conversation is so significant for the church.
Now, the nature of this conversation, then, it sounds like, is something that the church remembers because Peter isn't speaking only of himself, from himself, or, in fact, for himself. Is that part of what we need to recognize in this account?
That's very essential. When Jesus says to the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" This is he's speaking to them in the plural, but it's collective. Who do you, who follow me, who trust in me, who worship me, who have been baptized in my name, who do you say that I am? Who do you confess that I am? And so while we can say absolutely this was Peter's confession, you know, when he made this with all the vigor and sincerity of his heart, but it was a confession born in him by the Word and Spirit of God. And the same confession that he made is the same confession that the rest of the disciples would have made, and it's the same confession that every Christian makes. So it's my confession, it's your confession, Todd, but it is a gift of God. It is the objective confession of the truth of who Jesus is.
Now, it's also an incident that is recorded by the three synoptic gospels, those three gospels that kind of walk together, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. All three of them record it in varying degrees of detail. Does that itself also indicate the importance of it to not only the original human authors, but to the divine author of Holy Scripture?
Yes, when you have things that are given testimony to by the apostolic writers in the Gospels more than once, it's significant. And what's common to all three is the term Christ. And Christ, while it literally means anointed one in the Greek, Christos, Messiah in the Hebrew means anointed one. It's the same word, essentially. It designates not only that he is the son of David, the anointed king, but that term Messiah and that term Christ is really a designation that every hope and expectation for the Lord and his deliverance coming into the world is centered in this one, the Christ. And that's really what the church confesses. That's what Peter and the other disciples were giving voice to in that confession, that every promise, every expectation engendered by the Old Testament scriptures of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms are fulfilled in him, in his person and work. Now, the Gospel of Matthew records the lengthier account of the conversation in which Jesus especially highlights his death and resurrection as being at the core of the messianic work. And that's one of the reasons why Peter is called Bar-Jonah, Bar son of Jonah, after the prophet Jonah in the Old Testament. I mean, we think, scholars think that Peter's father's name was probably John, but here in the text, Bar-Jonah, which is a derivative of that, reminds us of the prophet Jonah, who was thrown into the raging seas to bring about a great calm, and the sign of Jonah, Jesus speaks about in the Gospels as being his death and resurrection, as Jonah was thrust into the raging seas and swallowed by the great fish, and then vomited up on the third day. So the Son of Man will die and be resurrected the third day, and then he calls Peter Bar-Jonah because, while Peter made the confession, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God," he's underscoring that the death and resurrection of the Christ is at the center of that confession. And then when he makes that explicit in Matthew's gospel to Peter and the other disciples, that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer and die and rise again, then Peter takes him aside and rebukes him, says, "God forbid that this should happen," to which then Jesus replies, "Get behind me, Satan." For to deny the death and resurrection of the Christ is to deny the very confession that Peter made when he said, "You are the Christ." So all of that is wrapped up and tied up together in this conversation.
So this isn't a confession that is simply made. Jesus says, "Good answer," and then moves on to other things. Jesus even presses the point in a backhanded way in that one account to further instruct Peter and the other disciples as to what it means that he is the Christ they have confessed him to be.
Yes, that's absolutely true. And this happens all of the time. I think you've experienced it, Todd, in your life, and most Christians do. You come to learn something, to know something, and to believe something on the basis of the Word of God, and you confess the faith, and then you come to know that same thing with greater a fullness and depth and clarity of understanding and conviction. And so Peter makes the good confession, yet he's only begun to understand what that confession means and what it will entail in the unfolding of the events of the Christ's life, that he must go to Jerusalem, he must suffer, he must rise from the dead the third day. And in Luke's gospel that repentance and remission of sins must be preached in his name to all the nations. And so the necessity of his death and resurrection is something that the scriptures proclaim, even though the disciples didn't immediately realize this, but Jesus continues to press that issue throughout the gospels. And in Luke's account, it's at the end with the Emmaus disciples that he says, "Oh, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have written. Ought not the Christ to have suffered and died and rise again the third day?" And then he opened up the scriptures to them.
We're talking about the Confession of St. Peter that the church remembers on the 18th of January on this Friday afternoon. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. He's pastor of Peace Lutheran Church and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy in Sussex, Wisconsin. We'll be right back with a little bit more.
It's here, it's here, it's finally here. Lutheran Catechesis Catechist Edition, a comprehensive guide to catechesis for a Lutheran congregation, including expanded helps on the catechism, a section of catechesis on the table of duties, Christian vocation, and learn-by-heart schedules for the congregation at prayer. Order yours today from the Concordia Catechetical Academy at peacesussex.org.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
The faith, once for all, delivered to the saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What if we made it clear to the Sunday morning visitor that Jesus is actually present, forgiving sins? I've written the second part of my essay, Lord's Day, Lord's House, Lord's Supper, and you can read it in the latest Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details Pastor Eric Rapp's journey from the New Age through Methodist Pietism to Confessional Lutheranism, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
Those beautiful notes were just the beginning of We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, Concordia Publishing House's debut CD collection from Pastor Stephen Starkey, one of the most significant Lutheran hymn writers of our time. For a limited time, save 10% when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Choir of Wells Cathedral with the first stanza of the hymn At the Name of Jesus. We're talking about the Great Confession of St. Peter. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. He's pastor of Peace Lutheran Church and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy in Sussex, Wisconsin. Peter, before we go on, tell us a little bit about the Concordia Catechetical Academy.
The Concordia Catechetical Academy is an auxiliary of our congregation here in Sussex, dedicated to the promotion of Martin Luther's small catechism and faithful Lutheran catechesis, not only in our own congregation, but in the church at large. And we produce catechetical materials for both adults and children. And we sponsor an annual symposium in June, this year, June 17, 18, and 19. And it is on pastoral care for the pastor and the sheep. And catechesis under things like the Office of the Keys and Confession is coming up this June.
Folks, you can find out more about the Concordia Catechetical Academy under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Now, Peter's name is in play here. This is a very interesting, especially Matthew's account of this, very interesting that the identity of Jesus is all over the map when it comes to the so-called, you know, public opinion surveys. He's named the Christ, but Peter's name is also in play because Jesus is doing something with it, although, as I think you hinted at before, not what traditional Roman Catholic theology says he's doing with it. What's going on here?
Yeah, correct. And while you say that, you might be tempted to say that the answers that were given were all over the lot, to identify John the Baptist and Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets indicates that Jesus' message, which is what gave birth to Peter's confession, "You are the Christ," was essentially no different from that of the prophets that went before. He preached repentance and faith in the promise. The difference is now his person, the person of the Lord Jesus, the Christ, is the fulfillment of that promise. And when Jesus then says to Peter, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church," the same word is used, but with two different genders. You are Peter, Petros in the Greek, which is masculine, and Peter's a man. It would be appropriate that the name given to him there is Petros, the masculine case. And then, upon this rock I will build my church. Peter means rock. Petros means rock. It's in the feminine. So it goes from Petros, masculine, to Petra, feminine. So he calls him Peter because of his confession, which is the rock, the Petra, upon which the church rests. So in Roman Catholicism, the whole doctrine of the papacy was built on this, but it was the person of Peter and the establishment of the magisterium in the Roman Catholic Church, which had the papacy at the top of it. But in reality, it is not the person of Peter, and it isn't even the office that he would hold as an apostle, but the substance of what it is that was confessed, the substance of the truth of the gospel in those words, "You are the Christ." And Jesus, of course, says, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona." And then when he talks about his death upon the cross and the necessity of that, and Peter tries to dissuade him from this, "God forbid," then Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." So, in the same person, you have both faith and unbelief. And what the church rests upon is the unadulterated truth of that confession of faith that Peter made, not his person or office.
And this highlights something that we need to discuss in light of this, and that is, just as Peter kind of stands in for church, speaks for church, disciples in church, in his profession of faith, he also does the same for church in his later profession of unbelief. The church finds itself struggling between these two things. Talk about that.
Yeah, that's a really important insight, Todd, because it gets us away from the notion that we can actually achieve on this side of the grave a life or a congregation, a Christian life or a Christian congregation, a Christian synod or church body, in which there is nothing but purity of belief, purity of confession. Now, purity of belief is important, but it's only created by the pure Word of God and the Holy Spirit through that Word who calls us to faith. But the reality is that when we speak of the church militant or the Christian life, we're not simply fighting against the enemies of that faith on the outside of the church or on the outside of a Christian, but we're fighting and struggling against the enemies from within. And so the unbelief and the doubt, and you see it throughout the entire 3-year ministry of Jesus in the disciples, But you also see that struggle for truth after the resurrection, when Paul has to oppose Peter to his face over the question of the of circumcision of the Gentiles and the Judaizing element and works righteousness in the church. And this is a very important view because it keeps us all humble. It reinforces the necessity of ever needing to be in the Word and to be learning and to be growing in one's faith. The call to repentance is not simply for an immoral life or infractions against ethics or something like that. The call to repentance is chiefly a call away from false doctrine to the truth, as Jesus did with Peter in that account. And so when we in Lutheran theology talk about this Latin phrase, simul justus et peccator, it means at one and the same time we're a saint and we're a sinner, we can also extrapolate from that same thesis that we are at one and the same time an orthodox confessor of the truth and a heretic. I mean, we all struggle with the truth, which doesn't mean the truth doesn't matter. It does matter. And as Jesus made clear to Peter at the end of this conversation in Matthew 16.
So with only about 30 seconds here, the when we say church militant, we're not just talking about the church writ large. We're talking about her members as well with about 30 seconds.
That's right. The church militant is not simply the church at large, but every congregation and every Christian. And what we're fighting against is unbelief from not only the outside forces of persecution and suffering that come against us, but from within ourselves. How there is a fighting against the truth, as you see there in the most sincere of Christians. Peter was so very sincere in his confession, but that's not what made it truth, Todd. It was the Word of God, the objective truth that he articulated in that confession. It was not the sincerity and the vigor with which he confessed it, and we need to maintain that also in our teaching and preaching.
Pastor Peter Bender is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church. He's director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy in Sussex, Wisconsin. You'll find a link to the Concordia Catechetical Academy under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Peter, thanks again for being our guest.
You're welcome, Todd. Thank you.
When we come back, it's going to be hour two of Issues Etc. We are going to visit a little bit with Chris Roseborough. We actually have a lot on our plate with Chris Roseborough. Follow up on a story from the last time we talked. Megachurch pastor Perry Noble was adamant that God had told him to preach a sermon on Christmas Eve, a sermon in which he said there's no Hebrew word for commandment, in which he said the Ten Commandments can't be commandments, they must be promises, and in which, based upon all of that, he took it upon himself to rewrite each of the Ten Commandments. He's issued a few apologies, a few. We'll talk about those. We'll also talk about the accuracy or inaccuracy of famous televangelist Pat Robertson's predictions for 2014. Every year he makes his predictions. Well, let's look back on the year and see if we can figure out how many of them came true. And then, of course, Tyndale Publishing is recalling a book called The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven because the boy who is the subject of the story says he didn't. We'll be right back with hour two of Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the divine service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.